Welcome to the Tag Republic podcast, a weekly chat with Carolina Guzik about all things marketing. Some episodes are short tips that you can implement in your business right away, while others are in-depth conversations with industry leaders. Whether you're a new photographer searching for some knowledge or an established professional with years of experience, Carolina offers fresh and innovative advice that can help you transform your photography business.
This episode is sponsored by The Art of Pinning, a self-paced Pinterest class for wedding and lifestyle photographers. If you are having a hard time driving traffic into your website, or SEO is overwhelming you, or the people that are visiting your website are not the kind of visitors, aka they're not converting into clients, then this class is for you. You can find more information at www.thetalkrepublic.com/Pinterest, or just follow the link in the notes. Now, enjoy this episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Talk Republic. I'm Carolina Guzik, your host, and today, all the way from Germany, Ida Glovik. How are you doing today?
I'm so good, and I'm so happy to talk to you, like, after all these years that we've been virtually acquainted. Like, talking to you is surreal, but it's good.
We were just saying before I hit recording that it feels so familiar because it's been like literally years that we have been, you know, exchanging DMs and watching each other's like lives and things like that. But we never actually got like on a Zoom call before.
Yeah. So I'm glad we got to it now. And I'm really excited for the next hour with you.
Absolutely. I'm super excited to have you here today. And we're actually going to talk about a topic that I'm currently experiencing, so that should be very, you know, very interesting, which is like how to market your photography business when you are feeling overwhelmed. And I'm gonna be honest, right now I feel, I don't know if the, I mean it has to be like the feeling of overwhelm. I don't feel like nervous, but I feel like maybe burnout might be the term that I am experiencing right now. But can't wait to chat with you because it every day is like a push and I don't want to have to push.
You know, I think it's for a lot of people, a lot of things happened, especially in the last 3 years. A lot has added and come together and we're experiencing it in different ways. It manifests differently for all of us. I can't say I'm an expert, but I've gone through the ups and downs, always made it through. So whatever I've learned from my life is what I try to share with others. And it doesn't mean that I'm perfect because I have my struggles even now.
Well, that's all good because nobody here is perfect. So what about before we start, you introduce yourself and you tell us what you do.
Yeah, so I'm Ida. I am a wedding photographer based in the south of Germany, just bordering Switzerland, actually. And mostly I'm focusing right now on local weddings, which for me means at the Lake of Constance, which borders Austria, Germany, and Switzerland. So that's my main focus, but I do take on weddings in different parts of Europe. And apart from that, when I have a breather, I also have a podcast, which we'll come back to once things slow down. So over the summer, I took a big break so that I can reduce my level of overwhelm and focus just on my wedding clients.
Nice, nice. It's always good to like step back, right? We have to like assess what needs, you know, priority right now. So, well, you mentioned that you have felt overwhelmed and that you have gone through this process, and I want to hear all about it. What was making you feel overwhelmed? What was actually the feelings that you were feeling, and how did you make it through?
Yeah, so I would say I've been in different phases of overwhelm, but taking it back to when I first started wedding photography as a full-time gig, it was just the fact that I was not acquainted with being self-employed, right? Mm-hmm. All the things that come along with it and just having all these bookings and all these clients, like I could not track anything. I was chaotic because from nature, I am a scattered person. And just to learn to bring organization into my workflow, even to understand what a workflow is, that was a process, you know, like I just felt like I was drowning and just holding on to dear life throughout the wedding season. And I just saw that things needed to change. And it was a grind to kind of get things into place. And then after that, you know, it's just other things started to maybe overwhelm me where I'll just take on too many things at one go because I just thought I can handle it. And I soon realized I couldn't. And that's why, you know, now I've learned to know, okay, it's okay to pause projects that I have going. It's okay to say no and just realize, okay, there's a season in life for things and prioritizing.
It's so important because I feel like as business owners, as solopreneurs, we literally do it all, right? I mean, I'm going to speak for myself, right? I run two businesses. I have Carolina Guzik Photography and I have The Talk Republic. Both of them require a lot of energy from me. And I do it all, which is crazy. This is not a badge of honor. I'm being honest. I'm not saying like, oh, look at me. I do it all. I have a hard time delegating. And I need to let go because otherwise I'm not going to be able to grow. I feel on my personal life that The Talk Republic obviously is the first thing that I sacrifice, right? Because right now, financially, Carolina Guzik Photography brings all the bacon, right?
Yeah, like exactly. All the That's money. The same thing with me. That's why I say the podcast needs to take, you know, a little break over here because, yeah.
But it is a catch 22. It is a catch 22 because if I don't put enough energy into The Talk Republic, I cannot grow it to make more money, right? So I do need to like let go of certain things and maybe bring somebody in to help me out. That's been for me like the biggest like blockage in my mind. And it's not because I don't want to, which is weird. Like I understand all the pros of bringing somebody else. It's just like, I haven't done it. It's like one of those things that, yeah, I'll get to it. 5 years later, we are here and I haven't gotten to it. So I need to think about this. And I also feel like, again, as solopreneurs, we are alone technically a lot. And I do feel that honest conversations rarely happen. We only see highlights on Instagram and everybody seems so well put together, you know.
That's how it is.
And nobody's actually talking about the struggle. So I'm glad that you are here so we can break it down and, you know, bring some light into like it is, I'm not saying that it's difficult, but you know, this being a solopreneur has really its challenging.
It's hard. And everybody's in a different situation. And I'm first also to say, I'm actually not purely alone in this business because my husband is also a full-time wedding photographer. You know, he started the business. I came in and there are a lot of things he handles in the business that I don't have to worry about. And so like, I'm in that fortunate position, but at the same time, I recognize what other people go through. You know, and even when it's the two of us, it's still a lot of work.
I think that is even maybe harder for you because I couldn't work with my husband. I couldn't work. Like even when I'm editing and he like comes over my shoulder and he gives me like his 2 cents as if I am asking for his 2 cents. And I'm like, oh, not today, sir. Not today. You're not going to add to my stress. So yes, I'm sure working with a partner is also has its challenge. So you
it does, but yeah, I just wanted to say it's something we figured out along the way and just realized, okay, what parts does he take over and what do I take over? But it works pretty well, but there's some adjustment that needs to happen in the beginning.
Absolutely. So you mentioned, right, at the beginning, you were overwhelmed. You didn't have systems. You were not organized. Are you, like, do you use a CRM?
That's the one thing I do not use. And I tell people, go ahead and use it. And the reason I don't is, honestly, because especially like the inquiry, booking and everything, my husband takes care of that. And he doesn't want to use a CRM. Like literally it's that he is obsessed with using Google Calendar, his email system in a works for him, and he doesn't want to change it. And I'm not here like, don't take on something that you don't need just because others are doing it. So correct. I would say like cherry pick where you're having struggles and find a solution for it. Like don't try to find a solution where there's no problem.
Same here. And I have had so many podcast episodes about CRMs because I do believe the value in them, but I am so type A and I have like my Excel sheet like that for me works perfectly, but I could see how that could be really overwhelming for people. So if you're listening to this, and especially if you're having trouble with your bookings, like keeping track of that, you need to fix that right away, because customer service is going to lead your business. So if that's a part that is really overwhelming you, there is help out there. There is people that would set up CRMs for you. You just have to hire them. Just like everything, there is help for anything in this world.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Like if I was completely alone in this business, I can imagine that I would have a CRM. I think it would work for me. But like I said, the delegation is the fact that he's taking care of that part and I don't need to bother that much.
Absolutely. You also talk about systems. What are the systems that have helped you reduce overwhelming your business?
You know, for me, it's the fact that figuring out that I just don't want to think new every time I'm doing something, for example, the client, right? It's really systems in terms of like the workflow of how things are supposed to go. And that just really reduces any kind of brain space that I need, because I just know what the next step is. Absolutely. And that takes time to figure out like how you work best. And like I said, it also changes from person to person. The way I kind of see my husband do things is a bit different compared to how I do it. But it's just like really noting down what needs to be done and actually figuring it out. And I am a huge advocate of simplicity. So I don't do any more than I really need to. That doesn't mean that I'm not serving my clients well, but it means like just because other people are doing it, if it doesn't fit the way I work, I'm not going to do it, because otherwise it's just going to be another stressor.
I love that you mentioned that, because so often we listen to podcasts or we watch a video and we're like, ah, they're doing it completely different and they seem to be more successful. Therefore, I need to do that. When in reality, it might not be your way, might not be serving you, and you might be taking on some overwhelm that you don't need.
Yeah, I will just give a little example. For example, I don't know how popular it is right now, but a lot of people that I know used to send or still do send like boxes, like these wooden boxes with the client, like a USB stick and prints and everything to their clients. And I always thought, wonderful, but I don't know, like it just stressed me out to feel like I have so many clients to always do that. And I really thought, you know what, I'm just not going to do it. They are getting my, you know, the gallery online with a lovely email. And that works for me, you know what I mean? Because otherwise trying to do something that's just thinking, oh, I have to take it to the post office, is just another thing to do on top of like, we have two little kids. I just had to cut that out and say, awesome for the people who are doing that. It's just not going to be for me.
I feel the same way about gifts for clients, like a welcome gift.
Yeah.
Gifting is like not my love language, not even with my husband. Like I think I have mentioned it on the podcast that he himself buys his like Christmas and birthday gifts, because the amount of stress that that gives me is impossible. So at the beginning of my career, that was like one of the things that people were like, oh, you're supposed to give gifts to your clients. And I was like, okay, I need to do this. Oh, it was so stressful. It was so dreadful. I felt like my energy whenever I had like a client like said like, oh, send me the contract, we want to book with you, instead of getting like super excited, I was like, hell no, I need to find a gift. So one day I was like, no, I'm gonna gift my clients a different thing, like not a gift, but like the experience, how I
exactly,
you know, how I show up for them. That's going to be my gift. I'm going to be the gift, not a present.
You are the gift. Similar to me, you know, like people have like printed wedding guides and stuff that they post through the mail. I decided that's also another stressor that I don't need. Hey, here's a beautifully designed PDF with all the information. And like the plus is whenever I want to like edit it, add something for the next year, I don't need to think about, oh, I need to get it printed. Da, da. No, I'm just going in, changing some stuff, update, upload, and that works.
An absolute simplified. Yeah. So what we're talking about, like, you know, this overly obsession that we have with Instagram and social media, right? Actually, because right now I'm going through this like burnout moment in my life, which is interesting because it's also the beginning of my season. Like I shouldn't be burnout right now. Like I should be fresh and ready. So I'm anticipating, right? I'm like, it's going to be really, really busy. And right now I'm feeling heavy, So I need to cut down things. And this morning I was just like, I'm going to delete Instagram. Oh. I haven't deleted it yet, but I'm like, I know that this is going to stress me a lot the first 3 days. And after that is going to be a blessing. So I know I'm going to have to do this. But again, we're overly saturated with Instagram and looking at other people and thinking what success is. What do you think is something that we can do to like, don't let what others are doing overwhelm us?
Yeah. You know, what I think is so important is you have to analyze your own life and what you want out of it. And that can change and you can be in different seasons. Like what's worked for me is like to really look at the upcoming year and see like what could be coming up and what do I need to do and how many bookings do I need? What makes sense? And just going from there and really focusing on that. You know, an example is like we bought a house last year and we've been renovating this whole year. And I knew last year, my husband and I, we have to amp up our work. We're going to work way more. It's going to be difficult because we just need to earn more. And that's like, we're hyper-focused on building a life for us and our kids. You know what I mean? We see what others are doing. Maybe they're traveling. They're doing destination weddings. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. And I'm like, so happy for them. But right now, I'm focused on local weddings. And I'm just going to serve my clients well. And I think what really helps me is even like, I love being in touch with other photographers and really talking to them. And, you know, that way I appreciate what they do, you know, and then that's good. And then I'm satisfied with what I'm doing. Of course, when you compare, you're like, oh, that person's so talented. But I think if you can use it more as a motivator of where you want to go and as inspiration, instead of like feeling down on yourself and focusing on like what you might be lacking, you know, changing the way you view things is so helpful. And I know Instagram is hard for a lot of people. Like you said, it's all the highlight reel, the best of the best. Like I see it too. And like, but I just try to change it to like, I am amazed, you know, like even Junebug just announced that they're having like the end of year competition stuff, you know, and every year I just see these images. I'm like, oh my God, that's not the type of work I create for my clients. Like it's very more low key. But then again, I just want to appreciate what the other people are doing. And I'm like, okay, I'm looking forward to what's coming this year. And if I'm meant to create really magical work like that, the time will come for that. But for now, I'm just going to love what the other people are doing.
Ah, that's so good. It's also interesting because for many years, I worked really hard on, or actually not worked really hard, but like my personality is like, I wasn't like bothered or, you know, I didn't think about like what other people were doing. I was just like, oh, good for you. Yeah. But I don't know why this beginning of this season has felt like heavy, like something, and it's not like, oh, I have envy, but I feel me being like dragged into like the scrolling. Yeah. And it's like, I can't stop. And I'm like, I'm not doing what I need to be doing on my business because I'm like sucked into this like endless scrolling on Instagram. So I definitely,
it's like an addiction when you're just consuming, like it's just hard to get out of that hole. Do you know what I mean? And like, it's different. Like some people can just put it away, or sometimes you just have to do a hard stop. Like for you, if you know yourself and you know deleting the app from your phone is what it's going to take distance from it, then that's what you've got to do. And that's when you start to create space for your own self and then come to yourself. But I think the first step you've already taken is realizing that there is a problem right there, you know. Absolutely. And knowing yourself how to deal with it. But at the same time, I just want to say, don't feel bad about it, because we all are there sometimes. We get out of it, or like, you know, it's something a lot of humans deal with. It's hard.
I know, it's this season seems, you know, we'll see where this goes, but it should be, you know, it should be okay.
You're gonna be okay.
Correct. Yes. So let's pretend that I delete my Instagram, right? What am I going to do to market my business then? What's going to happen here? What do I do?
Carolina, you are the Pinterest queen. Like I like to refer to you. I think you've got a massive amount of leads coming that way. I know you're vlogging. I know you're so good at like knowing SEO blogging, like the best venues, you know, around Miami. And, you know, I know you're getting that traffic to your website, and I think that's huge. I'm also a huge fan of SEO. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're treating your clients well, and you have been. So I'm sure they're talking about you, right?
Yes.
Yes. I see you get those reviews, you know, so it's not just word of mouth, but like there's actually written reviews talking about what an amazing photographer you are and how you've been treating your clients. Those are massive. But apart from that, offline, you know, those are, you know, you've got those wedding fairs that you can go to, and you talk about vendor relationships a lot on your podcast. I know about that. Right. And then also connecting with other photographers who are serving your kind of clients. Mm-hmm. And of course, referring work amongst each other is massive for getting more clients.
So indeed, you mentioned all the things that I do, which again, I've been doing this for 15 years. And when I started my business, I knew that I didn't want to put all my eggs in one basket. So overall, I know that if I leave Instagram for a month, that I'm going to be okay. But I want to talk about the photographer that is newer, right? 3 years into the business, they haven't put much attention into their website. They put all their eggs on Instagram. What's next if they decide for a moment to take a month off of Instagram? Like, what would be the easiest hanging fruit that you can refer to be like, okay, this should be your next step?
I mean, regardless if someone's active on Instagram or not, I am a believer in really getting your website at a good place. Because any of the other places that you're in is supposed to lead people really to the web, to your website, so that they can really see that they're right fit and they go to your inquiry page. Instagram is not the only way for people to get clients. Like, for a lot of people, it doesn't come naturally, and it is another form of overwhelm. Like, I'll be honest, I struggle showing up on Instagram. Like, I am so sporadic with how I'm there. And that's even my podcast one, which I feel more comfortable with. The one for my photography business, you can forget it. Like, if you can go to my page and you'll see, like, once every few months do I post anything there. But a tip I really have is, especially for photographers who are servicing local weddings, to use Instagram as for its SEO functions. Really put, like, in your bio, like, if you're in Miami wedding photographer, use those hashtags. And I have to be honest, just by doing that, is I also get inquiries through Instagram. And not because I'm constantly posting and building a brand. I am not building a brand for my wedding photography business on Instagram. I'm not gonna get those thousands of followers. It's just not gonna happen, because I just don't have the commitment, the passion, and also to make reels is just not me. It's just not gonna happen.
Oh, I'm glad that you mentioned reels and all that, because I think that's a cause of overwhelm for a lot of people. Like, especially with Instagram, I feel like Instagram every so often has like new features, and people feel like you need to jump on these features, because, you know, I don't know who came up with this, like, oh, you have to do what they, you know, the new feature to get visible. I don't think that's true, because to be honest, if I have done maybe 10 reels in my life, has been too many. I don't enjoy them. Every now and then I do one because I'm like, oh, I'm going to see if this works. And obviously nothing is going to work if you just make one, right? I know that. But I also don't enjoy making them. And it costs me, I waste a lot of time. I waste a lot of energy. So I decided that the things that I don't enjoy, I'm not going to do. I don't even have a TikTok account. I know people rave about TikTok, and like, TikTok wedding is the best place to be. I don't care. I don't care, because I'm not going to get any clients from TikTok, because I will spend no time on TikTok. So I'm going to focus on the things that I can control technically, which for me is my SEO, my Pinterest. And I do put a lot of love into Instagram, but those are like my three spaces, right? So I know that if at one point I need to take a step back because I'm feeling overwhelmed, like right now, I have two other safe spaces that are working for me.
Yeah, I'm exactly with you. Like, you know, there's no need to force something because it's just not going to work and people can feel it. That's also something. And it's just important to know exactly where your clients are. If you know, Carolina, that your clients are not really on TikTok and they're not going to be into the type of content that's being uploaded there, it's pointless. You know, you could put your energy elsewhere, or you can even take it for resting. You know what I mean? Which we forget to talk about. You know what I mean? Just quiet time to do anything else. And that's my philosophy as well. And if it's working, keep on doing that. And don't spread yourself thin. There's no point to it.
Friend, this is a short podcast intermission to remind you that every month I am uploading actionable short tutorials about SEO, blogging, content creation, website reviews, and much more on my Patreon. Each tutorial has a very specific goal to help you level up an aspect of your business. You can access these tutorials at any time and as many times as you need to. In addition, each month I am also hosting a live call where you can ask any questions regarding your business or marketing strategies. This is like having a tiny coaching call with me. You can currently access over 50 tutorials for only $10 a month. Join today. I have a direct link on the notes of this episode for you to check it out. Now, back to the episode. True. Resting, I think, is a hard word for all of us. Especially, I feel, because our work is seasonal, right? You yeah. are just finishing your season. I am about to start my season. And I feel like there is like 6-7 months that is like go, 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 go. And then I feel like for my off season, I still go, 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 because it's the time when I'm creating all the content that I know I won't be posting during my season. I'm on a hamster wheel here. Like, I need to get off and drink a margarita. I don't know. It feels a lot right now.
Yeah, I hear you. And, you know, like, one thing I did change just to get back to it is because back then I also did service a lot of weddings when we first started and our prices were really, really low, you know, because I mean, we just started. And then I am a believer in the whole thing of like when you're priced quite low, the type of clients you're working with can be trickier and more demanding. I don't know. It's also my experience. And then I remember talking to my husband that we need to price out and go higher. And then rework our packages, simplify. Like he had a lot of things in the packages. And like I said, it was his business first that I came into. So that was also an adjustment where I came in and I was making changes because I was just like, oh, this and that, this and that. But honestly, What did it mean when we increased our prices? It meant for us that we had to take less weddings in a year, right? And the type of clients that were coming to us were more chill, honestly. Like, I barely have problems with clients. You know, this year I had one problematic client from a number of couples. And it's worked up in the end. But that one problematic client was a source of stressor for me for a few weeks. You know what I mean? To get on that same page, to make sure like we're really aligned, you know? And I shouldn't have taken that client to start with. But like I said, we bought a house and I needed to take that client. But
sometimes you have to.
Yeah.
It's interesting also how all this comes together, right? Like if you have a really good website where your message is really, really clear, the chances of getting a client that doesn't align with you, it's slower, right? Or like smaller, that's what I'm supposed to say, because they're going to be repelled by your own website. They're going to be like, this is not what I want. And the same with, you know, social media. So having that, those messages really clear, I think is really, really important to avoid overwhelm after a booking, right? We don't want that, because that I feel like that overwhelm is really heavy.
It's heavy. You know, I try to avoid clients that seem too needy and everything, because I'm really like, I'm going to have the consultation with you, go through to the booking, you'll get all the information. And then I tell my clients, I'll catch up with you just like a month before the wedding.
Correct.
Like literally between now and a month before, I'm not one who's sending out emails and doing all these things, and they're not coming at me for anything, you know, unless they want like an engagement shoot or something. Like I want like really easygoing, chill clients, and that's what I usually have. And like, I really believe in the copy that you have on your website and your messaging is so important. Like even right now, I changed it on our Instagram. One thing, like our wedding photography Instagram used to be in English. Like the past year, I changed it to German because I wanted to focus on this local stuff. And then I changed in the bio, like literally to say, relaxed couples need relaxed wedding photographers. That is the header. So it's really, that's just putting it up front, because my ideal clients, they didn't just appear from nowhere. I really had to think about, okay, what kind of wedding couples do I want to work with? And it was a process to figure it out. And with each wedding couple where I saw, oh, that was really great, I tried to incorporate that into my messaging. And really my focus is, like I said, on the website, because that's where, like, if someone recommends me as a wedding photographer, they're going to my website. If they find me on Google, they're landing on my website. Even if it's through Instagram, they found me through a hashtag, eventually they're going to click on that link in bio and land on my website.
Yeah, that's really important. Another thing that obviously is crucial is boundaries. What are some of the boundaries that you have on your business to avoid getting overwhelmed?
Yeah, so setting boundaries is super important, especially also with clients, you know. I've seen in Facebook groups where people are complaining, oh my God, clients are like texting me, calling me like at 11 p.m. for one reason or another, and it's getting too much. I've seen those. And like, I think really setting office hours and communicating them clearly with your clients is important. And also having those boundaries with yourself is important, because how many of us, I know, I still do it sometimes, end up like sitting at the computer and hours go by, right?
Yeah.
And you barely ate properly, barely drank something, and you're just on the grind constantly, right? And just setting those things in place and having the discipline to follow through on them, it pays out in the long run. It's something like, don't be hard on yourself if you don't stick with them as much as you want, but being cognizant of it and trying at least your best, it really helps out for sure.
I always thought that it was, not always, but recently with so much technology that we have, I always find it interesting when people complain about like, oh, my client is calling me at 10 p.m. I have no idea who calls me after 8 p.m. because my phone is up, like immediately off. The Pope could be calling me and I have no idea. So like, I always thought that people getting so worked up over that is like, I'm not saying that it's not valid. I just say that it adds more energy. Turn off your phone. Who cares if they call you at 11 p.m.? So like, you're going to answer, right?
Let me add to like, not everybody would be in a position like I am, but there are some who are living outside of their country. Right.
Uh-huh,
so for me, I can never turn off my phone because I can get a call from Ethiopia anytime, and it does happen. And I'm like on the ready. And that's the one reason I don't shut off my phone. And I know from others who just live elsewhere. I mean, you're from Colombia. I don't know if your family's still there.
But I'm like, again, after 8 p.m., I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a doctor. There's nothing I can do for you after 8 p.m. So like my phone, even my husband gets like sometimes annoyed because like it's completely off. And if he's not home, I'm like, too bad. You missed the cutout. 8 p.m. My mental health comes first. I'm not hearing from anybody. But now I completely see it that
that's
not
amazing.
Everybody.
I mean, that's the reason. I don't know how popular using WhatsApp is in the U.S., but in Europe, like a lot of people, that's like
I use a lot of WhatsApp with my
number
South
one
American.
Thing.
Yeah.
And I am in these groups, these family groups that never stop talking.
You need to mute.
I mute them. That's what I'm saying. So that's the boundaries. Like, I actually don't see it Bingling. If anybody hears it, yes, you're on mute. If I have you in a group, like if you're my, but then again, you know, I have family members all over the place who have no sense of time zone. So
I'm telling you, like my family chat is a hot mess. Like I don't, nobody's actually answering to anybody, but everybody's posting. I'm like, you guys, I cannot. What a selfish point of view, mine, because I never thought about like, people really might have need to have their phone on. So yes. So if that's the case, communicate those boundaries, or you can just mute your client. I don't know. So many things.
No, I just say you communicate clearly and say, these are my office hours. And like, I know people who say, I only answer emails, for example, from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. So if your email comes in before then, that's when it's answered, or else you can wait another 24 hours, whatever you need in your life. Like you have to know what that is, but mostly for the most part, clients, if they are aware from the get-go, they know where overstepping comes in or not. So it's your job to put it front and center.
That's true. And don't be afraid, because I also read a lot of people being like, kind of like beating around the bush on this, like Facebook groups. Like, oh, I'm kind of like insinuating that this is not appropriate. Well, don't insinuate, like immediately tell them like, hey, Susie, I love you, but you need to stop with this text messaging me like after 10 p.m. or what have you. I haven't had to do that again because my phone is stopped, so I don't care. But yes, but I have no problem with any other boundaries. Like, for example, until recently, I was using always a mask at weddings.
Oh, yeah, and I saw you. I was like, this girl, every time. And I was just like, yes.
And I live in Miami, which we only had like a mandate for like half a day in the height of the pandemic. But I remember sending emails to my clients being like, this is what is going to make me feel comfortable. This is my boundary. It's not going to interfere the way that I perform my business. And that was it. There was nothing else to talk about.
Yeah.
My boundary. And they were okay with that. So yes, telling our boundaries is, it's important.
Yeah. I just want to say, I know it's hard for like people who identify being people pleasers, which I identified with for many, many years. And I'm very much recovering. Mm-hmm. And I learned the saying from Brené Brown, which really stuck to me, is about being clear is kind. Something along those lines, where when you're actually clear and people know where things stand, it's actually kind of you. It's about how you communicate it. It's like, you don't have to be rude.
Correct.
But you can be clear. And the other thing about like setting boundaries is not about shutting things like people away, but it's actually establishing a way where you can continue having a decent relationship with someone.
So funny now, thinking about boundaries. Within the mask situation, I always add on the email, like, I'll be blowing kisses from far away and we're doing air hugs, because my couples are really like huggy. And I'm like, not today.
Yeah.
I remember my husband being like, that is so rude. And I'm like, it is not rude. I'm being polite and I am stating my boundary. That is not rude. Rude would be if like they come to hug me and like I push them or something.
No way.
That would be rude. So he was like, okay, whatever works for you. And that worked for me for many years. So
it's about setting expectations and people know what it's about. That way, like, things won't be misunderstood. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So then they know, okay, that's because, right?
Correct. Yes. I recently did a 14-day energy reset challenge with a dear friend of mine, Pam. I had her on the podcast too. And one of the recommendations that she posted was obviously not checking your phone the first thing that you wake up in the morning. That could minimize your overwhelm, right? Whether it's the global news that are really, you know, scary right now.
That's a big one.
Or whether it's a challenging client that you are, you know, trying to avoid and you know that email is going to be there. We cannot hide forever, but we can, again, I'm coming again from like a very privileged space right now. Mm-hmm. There is things that we can control a little bit, right? Like you don't have to be glued to the news 24/7 unless unless maybe you have family or something like that, right? You can cut down a little bit. You don't need to reply to that email right away. You can give yourself 24 hours to think about what the best reply is going to be. So within our world, we all have a little bit of privilege, and obviously we have autonomy over how we run our business.
Yeah, like I think it's very wise when you know something could be emotionally triggering and you can avoid putting yourself in that situation, that you actually really wait for a time of the day or where you are, where you feel like, okay, you are emotionally in a good place that you can handle whatever is coming at you. And that's just going to be, again, different for everyone. So if it's like, oh, once you've had your breakfast, if you drink coffee or whatever, and you feel like, okay, I feel stabilized for the day, I can take things one time after the other, then doing it that way might just be smart instead of like, you know, being exposed to news that you're not ready for the moment you wake up, and it kind of throws off your whole day, your whole mood. So figuring yourself out and how you actually tick is helpful in all of these things.
Absolutely. Do you do anything outside of like boundaries and systems and all that, like anything in your personal life to help you stay balanced, centered, connected?
I mean, I love what you said about like the news. That's a huge thing for me, where I can like get so boggled down and like I'm so empathetic that like it really takes over me. Yeah. That like I then have to really take a break and step back from it. And that's something like my husband really had to tell me a couple years ago, where I was banned from reading the news or watching the news. It took over my life. And then like there was such a huge change in how I was. And I thought it was important, especially just so that I can show up really well for my kids, my husband, our lives, and just like know, okay, this point in my life, I have to be more present. I have to be honest right now. I'm back into that cycle of like, it's so present what's happening in the world, you know? We all know it. On my side, there's a lot of like things also happening in my home country. And it's just, it's that point where I feel like I have to be informed and actually know what's going on. And luckily, yes, for me also, I just finished my wedding season and I feel like I'm in a place that I can handle it. Mm-hmm. But in the midst of it, when I know there are things that I can't handle and it just will not only just take me off track, I mean, there are consequences of me not being able to perform in life, right?
Yeah, I'm absolutely. For
two little kids in a business.
Yeah.
In that case, I have to shut it off. But when I feel like, okay, I can handle it, I'm keeping an eye on how stable I am. Still telling my husband, hey, if you notice that I'm spiraling, then forbid me again. But, you know, some things are bigger than us sometimes. And it's just, it's just how it is.
Taking a walk has helped me a lot, like when I'm feeling really overwhelmed, getting away from the computer, getting away from the phone, and going for a 15-20 minute walk has helped me reset my nervous system. So I think that that's part of overwhelm, the nervous system being overly activated. You need to like reset it, and you can just do this by walking in nature, taking like 5 deep breaths, you know, trying to reset pretty much the nervous system has been good.
Absolutely. Like for us, we were living in a city which wasn't too big either. It was like, I think 60,000 people, which is not too big, but that was also becoming too much from all the things for me. So like we decided when we bought the house, like it's okay. We totally, I feel like we're off the grid, you know? We're out in the almost in the middle of nowhere. There are 1,000 people in our town. We're just
I think more than 1,000 people live in my community.
Yeah, no, seriously, it's a drastic change. But like, we both felt, especially me, because I'm very empathetic. Like, it's so stimulating in the world. there's so much happening, and just like it just felt so attractive to just live far away from things, right by the lakeside, just the forest is there that we can just be in nature, and it's so calming. And a lot of people ask me like, Ida, I cannot believe you're living in some village in Germany. And I'm like, it's the best decision I ever made. I feel
that
so
sounds
good.
Lovely.
It's so good for me. And yeah, sometimes it's even like bigger changes you can take in your life if you know it's going to help you. And I feel like it's just helped me tremendously. It's one of those things. And yeah, you can make little changes in your life, or you can take a bigger step, whatever you feel like is going to help you. And I think it's a good thing to also project a little bit in the future to see like where you think things are going and what you can do about it.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you have shared many things with us. This conversation has been lovely. What is something that you are currently loving to wrap this up?
Yeah, just along those lines, I'm loving that the wedding season has come to a close, because like I said, we took on a whole lot of work. We were on the grind, but we made it through because we were also making sure like we deliver our galleries. So every single gallery is out the door. I am free.
Nice. Ready for, you know, Halloween and then Christmas.
Pretty much. We're driving down to Tuscany in a couple of days. We're going to be there for a week, just relaxing. A few photographers are joining us. We're doing a little retreat and then coming back. And yeah, just taking a breather and again, taking time to reassess how the year went and looking into next year. You know, I think it's important to always just kind of reflect, you know, what was good, what could be better, you know, and taking it from there and focusing on how you're designing your own life and business and not necessarily looking at others.
Absolutely. So where could people find you if they want to connect with you?
Yeah, find me on Instagram, on my Instagram personal thing. I'm not big at posting, but I'm good at DMs.
Oh, like, yeah, I know. You are good at DMs. That's true.
Yeah. So you can like, it's at Ida Glowick, which is AIDAGLOWIK. Otherwise, when I relaunch my podcast in the next few weeks, when I get to doing some more interviews, Carolina's coming on as well. You can find me on Spotify and iTunes, My Wedding Season, the podcast, and that's the best way.
Absolutely. You have episodes. So even if you are not active in podcasts, there is a whole archive of episodes that people can go listen. So I want to make sure that I link to all of those things here in the notes. Ida, it was a pleasure having you. Guten Nacht. No, my German is really bad.
It's good. I love it. Try it again. Guten Nacht.
Guten Nacht.
I like it.
I better go and practice my Swedish, because
I was just gonna say, you know, don't veer away. Your Swedish needs, you know, all your attention.
Exactly. Like, you see, it's a lot of things. I'm leaving behind the things that I love because I've been a little bit burned out, but I need to like get back into my Swedish. Anyways, it was a pleasure having you. Thank you so much for your energy, for your, you know, your vibes, for everything. It's lovely talking to you. And for all of you that listen all the way to the end, thank you for being here. Make sure that you send us a DM. Let us know what you think. And I'll catch you next week with another amazing guest. Until then, ciao.
Ciao. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. For more info about marketing tips for photographers and show notes, please visit thetogrepublic.com. If you enjoyed today's show, please go to iTunes and leave us a review. Want even more? Join our marketing community group. Just search for The Tog Republic Group on Facebook. Until next week.